As you read through the Gospels, you discover Jesus asking some questions that are still changing lives today. We're in a series at the moment exploring some of those questions and allowing Jesus through those questions to shape our lives today. We began our series a couple of weeks ago looking at Jesus asking his disciples this question: do you understand all these things? He'd just finished teaching some really important truths about the kingdom of heaven, and his disciples answered in the affirmative. Yes, they said. But as we looked at the situation, we realized that they were only just beginning to understand all the things that Jesus had been explaining to them. And we're in a very similar situation. This question prompts us to think about where we are at in the journey of understanding the life-changing truths that come through Jesus, and to continue that journey as we follow him. The second question Jesus asked was this one: why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Similarly, we're only beginning our journey of learning how to obey Jesus in all that we do. And when Jesus is kind enough to expose for us some areas of our lives in which we're not yet obeying him, it's a fantastic opportunity to grow, to experience the blessings of obedience, and to avoid the destruction that comes from allowing sin to remain in our lives. Well, this week we move on to our third question. Mark's Gospel in chapter 4, why are you so afraid? That's a really great question, and I want you to pay particular attention to the word so. Why are you so afraid? You see, fear is actually something we've been designed to experience. It can be good for us. It can keep us safe. It can motivate us to make positive changes in our lives. For example, I love looking at nature, and whenever I'm on a high point overlooking the ocean or something similar, I love to go close and get a better look. But I'm also afraid of heights. I'm afraid of falling. And that fear is healthy for me in that it stops me from going so close to the edge that I fall over. Fear keeps us safe, and there are many, many different ways that happens for us in our daily lives. Fear also motivates positive change in that, for example, if I receive a diagnosis from a doctor who says, Mike, if you don't change your lifestyle, you're headed toward these sorts of illnesses. Well, the fear of that outcome is going to help me to make the difficult changes of changing diet and exercise routines or whatever else might be required in order to make positive changes in my life. When I notice that a relationship isn't going well, the fear of that relationship reaching a negative conclusion is something that motivates me to invest in it to develop healthy patterns. Fear can motivate positive change, but it can also be terribly destructive. So what makes the difference? What moves fear from being a blessing that can help us in our lives to being a burden that is destructive in our lives? When is being afraid a reflection of God's good design for us? And when is being afraid an act of disobedience to God, of failing to live up to his commands? Last week we talked about how we sometimes call Jesus Lord, Lord, but don't do what he says. And I admitted to everyone that one of the things that I struggle with is the command, do not worry. Worry is a holding on to fear about things that haven't even happened yet. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines it like this: worry is a mental distress or agitation resulting from concern, usually for something impending or anticipated. In other words, it's when I feel distressed or agitated about something that may or may not happen in the future. And when the Bible commands us not to worry, it's not talking about being unconcerned for things that we should be concerned about. It's saying to be careful about allowing our fears to become unhealthy, of allowing ourselves to be in that state of distress or agitation over something that might happen, of feeling the emotional weight of things that haven't happened yet, but yet in our hearts and in our bodies, we're feeling the weight as if they had happened. So let's quickly explore three ways that the Bible helps us to identify when fear, as in the case of worry, becomes a burden instead of a blessing. We know we are being burdened by fear when we notice that our fears are weighing us down. Proverbs chapter 12 expresses it like this: anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Anxiety really does weigh down the heart. When you notice in your life that you are feeling burdened, that you're feeling heavy, that you're struggling to have a positive outlook on life, when you are feeling weighed down, the cause may be some unhealthy fear in your life, because that's one thing that fear does to us. Another way that fear becomes a burden instead of a blessing is when it strangles growth and fruitfulness. A great illustration of this is found in the teaching of Jesus in the parable of the sower. As the story goes on, he says these words: "The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." Do you notice that one of the things that worry does is that it chokes the life-giving truth of Jesus, which is what he's talking about in this parable. He's talking about the fact that he freely distributes his truth and it can produce a harvest of righteousness in us. It can transform us. Yet when we are choked by worries, that truth doesn't flourish within us. It doesn't produce the transformation that it ought to produce. It doesn't enable us to make the kind of positive impact that God has designed for us to make. Fear strangles growth and fruitfulness. And we've probably all experienced that. I know I have. Haven't you ever wanted to make a change in your life? Or haven't you ever wanted to do something for somebody else, but yet fear and worry have held you back? What if it doesn't work? What if other people criticize me? What if I get ridiculed? What if I waste money in the effort? There's all sorts of different fears that hold us back from pursuing growth and pursuing impact the way God would have us do. The third thing that unhealthy fear does in our life is that it confuses our priorities. And perhaps the best known example of this in the Gospels is in the story of Martha, again in Luke's Gospel. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." One of the things that worry does in our lives is it causes us to elevate certain priorities above others, and that order isn't always the right order. It's not always the priority that God would have for our lives. And Jesus helps Martha with that issue in this story. She was concerned about things that were important, but the most important thing, the greatest opportunity that was ahead of her, was to sit at the feet of Jesus, take in his life-giving truth, and be part of the good things that God was doing in that moment. But those other concerns made it really difficult for her to see and to seize that opportunity. Unhealthy fear does that for us. There are more diagnostic tools that we could identify, but those are three that the Bible has for us. And as I look at my own life, I recognize those three popping up fairly regularly. When we find ourselves feeling weighed down, when we notice that we're not growing or impacting the lives of others as we could be doing, when we find ourselves running around trying to make life work and our priorities are getting out of whack, those are moments when it's healthy to step back and listen to this question of Jesus: "Why are you so afraid?" There's a story in Mark's Gospel where this question is found. Let's read it together. Mark chapter 4 from verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I can just imagine what it would have been like to have been in that boat during that furious squall, when the wind and the waves are howling and pounding against the boat and you're afraid for your life. And in that moment, as you would have looked around in the boat, if you hadn't noticed Jesus in the stern, all of the faces that you would have seen would have been as terrified as you are. Have you ever noticed that anxiety is contagious? How that emotional energy, when somebody is worried, upset, afraid, that tends to spread to others. And that sense of being uptight, of being concerned, of being agitated, it's a really contagious experience. I wonder if you've also noticed that when there is a person who is experiencing peace in the midst of that, that that can also be contagious. That when you resist anxiety and actually are a calm presence in an anxious situation, that can be a massive blessing to others. Jesus was that calm presence on this occasion. And we can learn a lot from how he dealt with his followers who were feeling so anxious. Notice how Jesus followed up his question, "Why are you so afraid?" with another question, "Do you still have no faith?" The reason they are so afraid is not because of the size of the problem they were facing, not because of the gravity of the circumstances they were in. The reason they were so afraid was because they lacked faith. And what does that actually mean? There are a couple of questions that his disciples voiced on that occasion that can help us unpack that a little more. The first one was this: "Don't you care if we drown?" What's the first thing that they lacked faith about? They lacked faith in God's care for them in that moment, in Jesus's concern for their well-being. "Don't you care if we drown? We're not seeing you do anything about our circumstances." If we're honest, we've probably felt that at different stages of our journeys too, either when something difficult has happened or when we're afraid of something happening. Sometimes it's fairly natural when our eyes are just on our circumstances to ask ourselves, or even without consciously asking, to feel in our hearts that maybe God doesn't care what happens to me. "Don't you care if we drown?" The second question they asked is this one: "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Not only did they doubt God's heart for them, Jesus' desire to save them, they didn't actually understand, until they'd seen Jesus calm the storm, just who he is, just what his power to save looks like. "Don't you care if we drown?" and "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him," indicate that their lack of faith was in God's desire to save them, his care for them, and his ability, his power to do what was needed to save them. And that's a very normal experience. And one thing I love about our worship tradition here at Kingsley is that we celebrate communion every time we gather on a Sunday. And when we celebrate communion, it answers for us both of these questions. Does God care about me? Every time we take those elements that remind us that Jesus went to the cross on our behalf, that he took the burden of our sin that separates us from God upon himself so that we could be restored to a right relationship with him. Does Jesus care about me? Absolutely he does. He's demonstrated that powerfully for us. And does Jesus have the power to save me from the circumstances I face? Well, communion reminds us that not only did Jesus die on our behalf, taking from us the burden of our sin, but he defeated death. He rose from the grave. Not only has Jesus overcome wind and waves, he's defeated the most powerful enemy we have, death. Jesus wants to save us. He cares for us. He has the power to do what is best for us. Nothing can get in the way of God's good purpose. Even the wind and waves obey him in this story. Even death could not hold him down, as we remember every time we gather. It reminds me of a movie I saw once where there's a little boy and he's been confronted by a hungry hyena. And the little boy knows that a hyena will not hesitate to gobble him up if he's smaller than it. And unfortunately for the boy, he is smaller than the hyena. So what does he do? He grabs a bit of bark that's fallen on the ground and he holds it above his head to give the hyena the impression that actually he's a lot bigger and tougher than he really is. And as you see the expression on that little boy's face, you know that he knows that he cannot withstand the problem that he faces. The hyena is too big for him. It's too strong for him. And he's hoping against hope that his ruse will pay off. Well, in the story, it lasts for a while, but then the bark breaks and the hyena realizes that he can have an easy snack here. Thankfully for that boy, his big brother turns up and helps him out, and eventually they're reconciled to their father who is searching for them. And the story has a really happy outcome. The same is true for us. Sometimes we go through life trying to make it look as though we can handle life on our own, that we can solve our own problems, that we can triumph over adversity. Well, reality tells us, experience shows us that we cannot make life work on our own. And no matter how successful we are or appear to be, there is one final enemy that none of us can overcome: death. We are stuck in our separation from God and in the final reality of our death. But Jesus has overcome these things. He's like that big brother, and the book of Hebrews describes him in those terms. He's the one who's gone before, who has defeated these enemies on our behalf. Because of him, we can be reconciled to the Father. We can be saved from the problems that would destroy us if it were not for God's care and his power for us. So as we think about this question of Jesus, why are you so afraid? Why do you allow fear, which could be healthy for you, become unhealthy as it turns into worry, as it turns into anxiety? When we realize that, like those disciples, we have doubted God's heart for us, his care for us, Jesus reminds us, I love you. When we find that we've lost sight of God's awesome power that he exercises on our behalf, Jesus reminds us, I am bigger than your greatest fears. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we never need to doubt that God is at present and he is at work for our good. Remind yourself of that the next time you feel weighed down. Remind yourself of that the next time that you notice that your life isn't bearing the kind of good fruit that it ought to be bearing. You're not growing, you're not impacting others because fears are holding you back. Remind yourself of that when you find yourself running on a treadmill trying to make life work and feeling like you're not actually pursuing God's will for your life. Your priorities are out of whack. Fear looks different for each of us. We have different triggers. We have different things that we're afraid of. We have had different life experiences that have hurt and have produced fears in us. We'll need to do what we talked about last week. We will need to dig down deep to apply these truths that God loves us and his power is sufficient for us, to apply those to our own circumstances so that we may fully experience freedom from unhealthy fear. But now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, for all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Not sure.